Parker Penthwaite, December 17th, and we're glad to get a hold of our listeners today. We have an unusual show because what's going to happen here is that we're going to get into another level of answering questions of all of the folks that have sent me questions that I haven't been able to answer individually. So what I'm going to do is I've grouped them all in together and put it in such a way where we can cover a lot of very important aspects of things. And also leave this open to callers. You couldn't get in last week because we Dr. Hersey, professor of chemistry at American University, who opened the door on fluoride 10 to 12, 15 years ago. We've carried that on. We had the Dental Association finally make their declaration that not to give fluoride to children up to the age of two. And I believe that they were sitting in the wings with that in October, but they only released it. I think somebody got to them. And we had some success on that. And the other thing, too, is that the whole concept of nursery water at Walgreens needs to be looked at again. I think they may revisit that that executive decision. And I want to congratulate the cover of Time Magazine for the Person of the Year, which is you. And I believe it. This is where I really felt strong about Parker Pathways, because I really felt that we're in a new society. People make information in a different way. Knowledge people like myself who have been in for years in technology forecasting and developing new ideas in medicine, in law and laboratory science, we've always been on the periphery and glad to be there. But now we have to be out in the front. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. And we're going to be discussing, as I said, the genetic engineering, biotechnology, the concept of how this affects things politically. And we're going to get into the politics and how these policies are being made in these answers to the people in the group system, all these folks that ask questions. You keep the questions coming. The email is kwati@sbcglobal.net. And, of course, my hard copy address is P.O. Box 864, Millbrae, California, 94030. And I want to make sure that we cover the concept of the Amero, which is the new money that bureaucrats want to have in that treaty, which has been affectionately called the Texas Highway. And also, there's a little bit of discussion I want to get into on the Department of Defense's concept on studying the brain and mind control and the whole systems that are involved in that, and how that integrates into other aspects of future medicine. There has been another development which we got quoted on was the whole concept of the European Union adopting the idea of registering and evaluation 30,000 commercial chemicals that have never been tested for toxicity. And this is a great big, big thing. And we're very happy about that. So we'll look back here on the other end of the break. And keep your number handy, 800-313-9443. Talking in various ways of giving information toward questions that have been asked over a period of time on my shows, and I haven't been able to answer them, so today we're going to try to cover a whole lot of questions in group form. I want to get back to the idea of this big push-through that happened in Europe. This was a situation where registration and evaluation and authorization of 30,000 chemicals that are made commercially, they've never been tested for toxicity, and they're going to register them, and this is the first time in history that that's ever been done. The whole concept of this was to have companies that to register chemicals that they make, which has got a limitation, but the point is that it's importer use in the European market. Most of these chemicals make it to America, and this particular concept called REACH, R-E-A-C-H, will still require the firms in Europe to produce an environmental and safety data. And for tens of thousands, they kind of try to get up to 12,000 chemicals. And another open area that we're going to be talking a lot about on Parker Pathways is where you can develop concepts of toxicology tests, which right now is not set up in medical protocols, which is what I'm really interested in. And so we're very pleased about that particular development in the world. This affects our whole economy of the global system, which I've talked about on other shows, and how the globalization of ideas in chemistry is going to develop what I call from the situation rooms in Washington that are very real. They're called nation states. And these nation states will have these particular treaties as to how they report, handle, and do various aspects of manufacturing of these particular chemicals. To meet a group of questions concerning genetics, this will be divided into five sections of answers to the hundreds of people that ask questions about genetics. There is afoot a concept of what a new area which is being created in genetics and medicine called synthetic genomics. Now, synthetic genomics is a very big issue that I call world of mass destruction situations. The real question that Uncle Sam wants to ask and is asking it correctly, can we stop tomorrow's terrorists with making deadly viruses from scratch? And the whole issue here is that there are several ways and technologies that are being developed very accurately, I feel, to consider options to keep a biosecurity and lab safety of companies that handle genetic material, because any of the companies in throughout these various treaty and nation states can change the DNA, if they could get that far with it, to develop various viruses, and they need to be screened. In other words, these DNA systems need to be screened for dangerous sequences. And these sequences, in my world of the amount of knowledge that I have, which is mountains of stuff that have to be very well used, and I use it well to try to help Uncle Sam. But at the same time, the public needs to know how they can help themselves understand these things. And I'll be talking a lot about this in future shows. There's a good reference that you can look at. It's New Scientist, November 4th. There was a little sneak preview of this subject. and it was very well done. The synthetic genomics to me is something that just has to be discussed and developed and worked with in such a way as to understand how it's going to affect our future medicine. Because if you have medical establishments and bureaucrats who are very interested in the idea of taking away our food supplements, and they are. There's a very, any form of dietary supplement is considered a target. It's been a target for years, but the World Trade Organization, on their treaties, have already written their draft on how to limit the access to dietary supplements. And the other aspect is to develop ways to keep medical doctors from doing alternate therapies on folks. And, of course, there's a lot of deaths that are prevented from alternate therapies. I want to congratulate Ron Paul, a representative from Texas, who's introduced bills to make the freedom of choice as part of the law in choosing dietary supplements and alternate energy systems and alternate medical systems. I had one of those shows at the beginning of my tenure here at RBN, and it was a very powerful kind of thing that came out. I didn't realize the effect that it would have, but there were a lot of questions relating to this subject, and rightfully so. There's several questions concerning erectile dysfunction drugs and their effect on the human body. I'm going to later on in the next hour cover that, but I want to present the genetic concept of this. There is an experiment that's done is done very well. It's a DNA sequence that has a gene which is called HSLO, and HSLO is a long name for an amino acid sequence, and it's a gene that relaxes the penile muscle. It's injected into the penis, and these particular DNA sequences relaxes the penile muscle and enables the blood to engorge the penis. The reason this is incredibly important is that a lot of problems of infertility and concepts of other secondary internal circulatory systems in males is influenced by a lot of the water nitrogen systems that I talk about in chloramine as a disinfectant byproduct causing collateral health damage. I've been familiar with this gene for some time in its research, but I'm very pleased with this present progress. And that there is an excellent reference for the HSLO gene. It's in Human Gene Therapy. It's volume 18, page 1165. Very well done piece of work. And I really want to make sure that you take a look at it and think on it in another way, which is that the less drugs you can take, the better off you are. There is another group of questions which ran in medical terms in huge blocks of questions, and it's something that I want to bring up about genetic tests that are actually for sale to the public. Now, the genetic testing for the public and direct consumer tests is going to be a subject and a economy that is going to be very much part of our life. There's a trend in this world to try to have the public be their own purveyors of testing. There's a pro and a con for such a thing, but I want to make it very clear that with the exception of trauma, all diseases have some genetic component. And that's just the way life works. And that is the way nature is. We can't avoid this. A lot of these genetic components, they just range from virtually all genetic circulatory systems like sickle cell anemia, cystic fibrosis. And there are other diseases that are really classed in terms of genetics as environmental. That would be diabetes and cancer. In the diabetes realm, of course, there are some breakthroughs in genetics which have to do with the nerve system of the pancreas being altered by change in amino acid sequence to change the pancreas from having to inhibit the insulin in the body so that you won't have type 2 diabetes. This is all recent work in animal research, which will be in the human pipeline in clinical trials in about a year if all goes well. When we come back from the other side of the break, we're going to get some life-death stuff going on here with genetic tests for you to really know about.
Trying to find ways to develop
medical protocols to actually test, work, and conform and change molecules to be able to work in a different way. You might call it a synthetic genomics of its own way. And this is the future of medicine. The big picture here is that the patient doing the testing is something where it is time for you to raise the bar on the knowledge base that has to do with these various gene structures. And I am more than glad to do that and work it with the audience carefully. I'm talking slowly so that there's really an understanding here of what we're really doing, what we're talking about. I've been building up in many shows telling you about how different nations will control tests, different treaties will be signed and already are signed for the development of these kinds of medical protocols for their treaty. However, I'm doing something in terms of promoting the concept that the meaning behind having a constitutional amendment so that we have a right to vote what goes in our food, what goes in our water, what goes in our medical protocols. And it becomes more apparent as this whole story unfolds. For instance, you take one disinfectant that I've talked a lot about, and you can, and I've become almost a world expert on it. Didn't want to be, but that's the way it's turned out. But chloramine is mutagenic, destroys genes, and that's a disinfectant byproduct in drinking water. It's also connected with some of these gene tests in terms of how you develop a diagnostic system, for instance, for colon cancer, which is a very serious and more diagnosed cancer than most. What I wanted to let the Parker Pathways audience know is that the colon itself is a very large organ. You have the transverse colon. You look at it, it's across, if you were to see this visually. So you have your colon across, a descending colon, and would be to your, for instance, you were looking at it in front of you in your image, the descending colon would be on the right, transverse colon would be on the top, and the ascending colon would be on your left in the visualization of this organ. So the descending colon is going to what is an area called the sigmoid flexor, and then from there it drops to the rectum. And when we come back to the break, I'm going to give you some life-saving prevention percentages as to the large bowel cancers and how they're tested genetically.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
This is Parker Pathways, and this is Dr. Wynn Parker, and we're dealing with the important issues of genetic testing and gene tests for sale as a group of questions that were asked. And we get back to the colon, which has got five variations of gene sequences that are going to have genetic tests that you can order and do. The whole thing is that, go back to the imaging of the colon, you have the transverse colon, which is on top. On the right is the descending colon. Left, you have the ascending colon. That is if you're facing an image of the drawing of it. Now, the situation is very important. The transcending colon on the top, has about 10% of large bowel cancers. That's 10%. That's very important for you to know, because a lot of alternate medicine systems only affect one section of the colon in a particular way, which, by the way, the medical establishment wants to eliminate a lot of alternate medical systems that can be useful for changing colon tissue. The ascending colon has about 15% of anatomical distributions of large bowel cancers. The descending colon, which in your image would be on the right of your image facing you, would be 5%. That's also very close to what's been recorded in the medical literature and also in medical diagnostic paradigms. And then 20% of anatomical distributions of cancers for the genes is on the sigmoid colon, the little curve that goes into the rectum. So what you have from the rectum area to the sigmoid colon, you have about 50% of all anatomical distributions of large bowel cancers. So let's say that you are taking some of these genetic tests and doing them. You are also in the decision situation of what the well-being of yourself is going to be of knowing this information. And then you'll turn to persons like myself and say, I need a test for that, or I need a drug for that, or I need something. Well, the whole problem is the more drugs you take, the worse this whole story gets, because you're also changing another gene sequence that is causing another signal to another gene sequence, which was the original signal. So you're back to square A again, and you have to have another form of looking at this particular subject and how you're going to take care of it. Which brings us circled to the concept of gene therapy and using stem cell research as potential down the line. And what you have on stem cells is a whole array of information that can be sequenced in such a way that could cause more harm than good, or maybe your salvation. These stem cell situations and a lot of the questions that I've been asked for the show is that they're really what you might call master cells, and they trigger the autoimmune response in the body by attacking their own tissue. And so the master cells formed from the stem cells are stopping that process. And they're paving the way for ways that you possibly can treat through genetics and cell manipulation various diseases that are gene-triggered completely. And that would be, one of them would be rheumatoid arthritis, which everyone, you can't watch a TV screen within a period of an hour, at least seeing one to two drugs being promoted for rheumatoid arthritis, and then you go to your physician and you say, well, I want that drug. But the problem here is our T cells, and those cells are can go absolutely crazy with they see abnormally, usually suppress the autoimmune system, and but right now the T cell research is excellent in terms of trying to really understand more of it, and the T cells can destroy the internal organs of experimental animals and humans. But the whole thing is, if you can control the T-cell system by a proper gene sequence of what's called imitation molecules, which is what I work with, which is called computational chemistry, you could change the whole outcome of your life if you knew that information. So let's say you buy a genetic test, and you test for what you're going to have in this, and you have it now. You've got these other decisions that you have to make, and there are what are called protocols that you have to consider in different gene sequences themselves. So for the basic structure of close to 200 diseases, you get, and all of them liver-triggered, which is why I went into the whole concept of disinfecting byproducts in the water when I first started out in terms of the drinking water contaminants, how it affected pregnancy, and how it affected the liver sequences. Those are all stem cell-oriented genes. So you have normal stem cells in the body. They can renew themselves. They send signals out to regulate their cell division. Those create what are called progenitor cells. Those are the master cells that can save your life. They send out signals to normal tissue. They send it to hepatocytes to regenerate your liver, and satellite cells to regenerate your brain. The other sequence of what can happen is the stem cells can have an accumulation of mutations. And I form this as this is chemically challenged by water that's contaminated, and also by various adverse drugs. And these accumulation of mutagens from the stem cell can create a cancer stem cell. And this cancer stem cell is what you're really testing for in the gene sequence, and it can renew itself. When it renews itself, it takes the regulation of the cell division and creates mutated progenitor cells. And these cells cause the classic chemotherapeutic target, which is a differentiated cancer cell. So where folks like myself come in is trying to change the signal for a deregulated cell division of a stem cell that has a bioaccumulation of mutations. That's what I call it, a bioaccumulation, because it's accumulating all these different toxins from the various sequences of things that you drink and eat and breathe. And this changes your liver and your brain. So now... And the next hour, I'll be going into the other idea of pregnancy and how that's changed and how that's involved in some of the world treaties in terms of controlling fertility. The Pentagon is very interested in looking at the function of brains, because brains, if they can control the brain, they control the signal and to give to a command through... what's called the cognitive functioning process. And they're right now looking in ways to use electroencephalograms to detect various human brains and how they affect the way of cognitive activity in real time. And what they're trying to do here is to do a non-invasive imaging system so that a pilot or the future soldier will be able to react to different forms of data and allow real-time assessment and in the battlefield and be able to develop ways that the brain can function in a particular neuroscientific way that is different. In other words, you create a different brain. I'm very much involved in this kind of research concept because my application is more into the cancer promotions and of the body controlled by the brain, which I gave hints of this in one of the other shows last month in the Biology of Hope. And that was one of the reasons that I wanted to interview various people that had been successful in determining ways to solve problems, like Gary Anderson and his Clarence Darrow interview. The imaging system of the brain applies really to discoveries that, of course, the Defense Department is really interested in something they need to be interested in. Does the cortical part of the brain, or with the side part of the brain, recognize a terrorist or a terrorist training camps or a concept of how they do polygraphs and fingerprint analysis, be able to analyze it so as to identify it with brain waves? There is a drug which is called CX-717. This is used by the Defense Department in various experiments for sleep-deprived people to maintain memory and their cognitive function. And what's going to happen is we're going to see this overlap in various forms of research that have to do with master cell differentiation systems, toxicity of the body, and other forms of ways to test through brainwave conceptual progenitor cells and the use of viruses, and to give vaccines for viruses, in turn to give vaccines for changes in the brainwaves. That's way down the road. I've seen some of that research, and it's quite interesting. But you have to be prepared for that. It isn't your ma and pa's 7-day rose-covered garden America, or world for that matter, because the future world is going to be called the nation states, which is was the basic concept of the treaty signing for the development of the new currency on that Texas highway. I want to get back to that. You might not think, you wonder, remember I was telling you about the fact that they have eminent domain there for water and other forms of activities that they want to develop, which has a little healthcare system in there in terms of how to implement all these things, as terms of riders and that type of thing for the new system and how they're going to be supported. And so the Amero as new currency is something that you need to really pay attention to. I was quite amused, and really not amused, at the FDA had warned the Nestle company that its Good Start infant formula didn't meet nutrient standards. And the company backed off. It's just a test discrepancy, and there's no problem with this. But I found a clause that integrated a lot of these subjects that I'm discussing here, and in many other proposed drafts of treaties concerning how Glaxo wants to have herpes simplex screening, and they want to have infants receive vaccinations that have these sequences that I'm going over and smoothing over very carefully here on progenitor cells, conceptual, again, the signal to the virus, which in turn goes to a different part of the brain, which in turn has a different cognitive signal. So those are not down the road. We're talking about something that I opened the show with, that Time magazine has covered. It says you are the person of the year, and I believe that, and because you're creating information. However, my issue here is the fact of the constitutional amendment that is going to be placed in there, or a change. We have a grand jury of science and technology where people have an opportunity to determine if these bureaucrats and the rest of them are making a decision that's going to really affect us in terms of millions of people who are affected directly. And there are different ways that you can look at this in such a way where you have survival or you have acceptance in terms of the theories that are being promoted. in the way that we develop genetic engineering, and people talk about it in such a way that they don't realize, for instance, on obesity, where there's overwhelming evidence that's not being released to the public concerning the concept of virus concept. I'm even working on a molecule system formulating various ways, and have submitted to the patent office actually a patent on this subject, on obesity and the molecules involved. But there are a lot of chemical reactions that are programmed. And we have psychological learning systems that are influencing us on a daily basis. And we are not being told about the generation and the efficient treatment systems that are involved in cognitive behavioral therapy. And yet at the same time, we have this trend over here to develop a new brain and to be able to do a system of having cognitive electroencephalographic waves used in another way, either good or bad, coming from the person's cognitive beliefs. When we come back from the other end of the break, we'll leave it open also for any callers that would like to jump in. They may. And they've always done good work in terms of pumps and miniaturization and nanotechnology, which I understand some cities across America have gotten the idea that there should be laws passed by cities to make them nanotechnology-free zones. Berkeley, California is such a town. We have on another company to watch in terms of, I like their intellectual property, is Huber. Huber Engineering. I think that they have a good focus on this. And the other is Cardinal Health. I think that since the health insurance system will not be the same in our lifetime, and it'll change dramatically in the next 2 years with the new Congress, I think that we're going to see some very big changes in these corporate intellectual property developments concerning trade-offs of fertility and cancer. So what we're going to do is go to the next hour, and we move right into genetic engineering and food.